NJ Arts News spoke with Dr. Peter Mercer, president of Ramapo College on the campus in Mahwah, New Jersey, near the Ramapo Mountains. We discussed the importance of words in college leadership, the role of humanities in civic life, and students' response to environmental challenges. We began with Dr. Mercer's own college experience.
I did my undergraduate at Huron College, which is the founding college of the University of Western Ontario. Then I went to law school at the University of Western Ontario and graduated when I was 22, and all of a sudden realized that I faced the prospect of working for the rest of my life, which terrorized me, so I decided to go and do a graduate degree. I ended up going to England and doing a four-course master's degree, and it was a wonderful year.
We asked about the challenges and the pleasures of being a college president.
It's counterintuitive in a way, Susan, because you don't run things in higher education. You cajole, you jolly people along. You know, somebody once said to me that among faculty, 15 to 1 is a tie vote. So the notion that you're somehow going to run anything by fiat is very sadly misplaced. The role of a college president is very complex because, for the most part, the academic leadership in a college is isolationist, self-directed, and that's a good thing. But it means that you can't do as a leader what somebody in private business can do, which is simply by declaration get your own way. You really do need to convince people of the rightness of a particular point of view and keep working at it. Mm-hmm. And those who've tried to behave along private model lines have found that it's a bit like punching a wall with foam rubber. You make a great impression while your fist is in there, but as soon as you pull it out, everything snaps back to where it was before.
We turn to the importance of words and to Dr. Mercer's practice of introducing words from the Dictionary of Newfoundland English in his annual State of the College address.
The first word I used was dunch, because dunch is a word in Newfoundland which describes the kind of leaden pins and needles feeling you get in your hindquarters when you've been sitting for too long listening to somebody. Words are very important, and they've always been very important to me. My mother taught me to read when I was very young, and I still look upon that as the golden period of my life, when I read incessantly. I think it's the reason why the Romantics always appealed to me. That life of the imagination was all conveyed through words on paper. I'm still insistent that our students recognize the importance of words.
We wondered if Dr. Mercer had ever combed out the word economy, which appears in so many different contexts in daily news.
There's a joke which I quite like about economics. There's an economist, a lawyer, and a physician who go rabbit hunting. And a jackrabbit bolts out of the brush, and the lawyer fires at it, misses the rabbit by 10 feet. So the physician fires and hits 10 feet behind the rabbit, and the economist yells, "We got him!" The imputed precision of economics is wildly delusionary. And I think most economists would say that. It's not that economics doesn't have a place in the college and university. It definitely has. But the notion that economics is the lens through which the world should be viewed, and particularly the world of higher education should be viewed, is very, very badly flawed. So much of economics is being used for purposes for which it was never intended. And that creeps very insidiously into vocationalism when it comes to the attitude that the public takes towards higher education. I think that's a serious mistake. This is the opportunity for you to really learn something about yourself. And you don't do it by focusing simply on whether you're going to have a paid position when you leave.
Referring to the ongoing debate on the value of humanities, we asked Peter Mercer to share his view of the humanities and the role they play in higher education.
Most students, at some point in their college career, ask themselves large questions. Why am I here? What's the purpose of my life? How can I make a difference? Those don't get answered in anything other than a humanities-laden environment. You might get spurred to think about them, but the humanities are really where you have to go to ask those questions which appeal to your soul. And I think students still have souls. I don't think they check them at the door when they come here. The humanities, to me, encompass the studies of literature, philosophy, language, all the elements of learning which nourish the inner person, if you like. They're not about social structures the way the social sciences are, or about the playing out of the natural world. Inevitably, there are overlaps among the humanities and the social sciences and the natural sciences. It's the suppleness of intellect that the humanities education helps develop, which makes people adaptable in environments which are highly subject to change and very competitive. People in business recognize the utility of that right away.
Our conversation turned to the environment and to students' response to the concept of material growth.
When we talk about the carbon footprint, our students are quite aware of how unsustainable contemporary life is in many respects. I think there's lots of evidence societally of where material wealth and the glut of material goods has created a kind of sclerotic situation that is not at all helpful and is actually creating tremendous damage. And students get a sense of that. It's complicated because the notion of growth, of course, depends very much on population trends. I suppose more precisely, what's the residue of your growth? And it's the residue that I think students look at much differently today. They're much more concerned about recycling. They're much more concerned about reducing the effect on the natural environment. And I think the reason they're doing that is one that capitalist economics would find appealing, which is, if we don't pay attention to it, we're not going to be around. I don't think it's as a result of having high-flown philosophic ideals that all of a sudden this generation is more enlightened and decided that Mother Earth deserves to be nurtured rather than abased. I just think they say this can't continue. And they're right.
Finally, the role of the news media. What constructive changes would Dr. Mercer suggest for our civic information system?
I wish every news network had maybe the equivalent of a court jester, somebody whose sole purpose would be to tweak the dominant ethos of the network. For example, it's not enough to suggest that there may be an education bubble and that the cost of higher education is now so much higher than it used to be that people can't participate in it, but to go a little further and ask, what would be the implications of that? Is it a good thing or a bad thing if 500 of the nation's colleges and universities go bankrupt? Those are the questions that don't get asked very much.
Before wrapping up, we wanted to know how Dr. Mercer sees Ramapo College within the fabric of higher education in New Jersey.
I can never get my colleagues to come here for a meeting because you'd swear you were inviting them to go to Baffin Island. Way up there is the response. And to some extent, I think we benefited from being way up there. We're a kind of little enclave. Our mission is to kind of cut against some of the things we've talked about today as the dominant social mores. And we have a history that enables us to do that. So that's the other thing about being a college president. You can't be enslaved by tradition, but I think most colleges are on the cutting edge of tradition, and you better recognize that.
That was Dr. Peter Mercer, president of Ramapo College, speaking on the campus in Mahwah, New Jersey, last December 2013. This is part one of the Words Matter radio project, funded in part by the New Jersey Council for the Humanities. I'm Susan Haig with NJ Arts News.